Dudleys, and welcome to the 39th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we're diving headfirst into the Conjuring universe.
Ooh.
I appreciate your sound effects, Carly, as always.
Yeah.
Note to all you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so consider this before moving forward. Both these films are currently streaming on HBO Go and HBO Now, so feel free to check them out before continuing with the episode, so we don't spoil them for you. But before we jump into these movies, let's get started with a segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Geostorm, which is due for theatrical release October 20th. It's directed by Dean Devlin, who's the producer on both Independence Day movies and 1998's Godzilla, and Danny Cannon. And it's written by Dean Devlin and Paul Guyot. The IMDb summary is, when the network of satellites designed to control the global climate starts to attack Earth, it's a race against the clock to uncover the real threat before the worldwide geostorm wipes out everything and everyone. Dun, dun. No. So,
I mean,
okay, so this summary sounds great. It sounds great. They've learned how to control the climate. That's a great idea. Okay, they figured out how to do that. The world's got together. Global warming's a thing. Some people who are smart believe. And then, you know, some people don't, but we'll get into that another time. So anyway, it's a great concept, right? Global climate, we can arrange it so that the climate stays in control, and then something goes wrong, and now there's a geostorm that's wiping out everything. It's an interesting concept. However, did you get any of that from the trailer?
Yeah, a little.
Did you see any acting whatsoever?
No, but I mean, didn't it say something about, like, when we learn how to control the weather?
That's true. Okay. I don't think I read the words.
I have no idea who's in this movie.
There's no one in the movie. We see no acting.
We see a lot of CGI tornadoes.
So much CGI tornadoes and waves. And buildings and just...
It's like a day after tomorrow. The day after tomorrow, right? Yeah.
I don't know why we need this movie.
No, me either.
And I'm a little bit concerned because, yes, our director produced both Independence Day films and 1998 Godzilla, which, okay, they're all disaster movies. But he produced them. He didn't direct them. No one in this film has much experience in anything other than television. This Dean Devlin has directed a couple movies, but none of them to this scale. So I'm a little concerned that the experience
is lacking.
Is lacking for a project this large. But putting that aside, putting my expectations and thoughts aside, even just the trailer, I feel like the trailer isn't doing the movie justice.
Or the movie isn't going to do the movie justice.
That's a fair assessment, Carly.
I mean, they just kind of throw all these crazy looking scenarios at you, and you're just I don't know. I guess that's just kind of... That is what they think of us now. Throw in action scenes and people running and a crazy plot that, like, is going to bring the whole world down. People will be interested and want to see it.
I mean, do people want to see that? I don't want to see that, but I'm sure there are people that want to see that. But this isn't, like, a horror fan thing. This is, like, an action movie thing, right?
Yes.
I feel like this is your thing if you're into action movies, because I could give two shits about this.
Was it labeled as horror?
I believe so.
See, I saw this trailer a while ago. Sci-fi action thriller. No, I saw this trailer a while ago, actually in theaters, and I was, like, unimpressed by it. And then I forgot about it, And then when I saw it today, I was like, oh, I saw this before. Okay.
Yeah, this trailer showed when I saw It Comes at Night. And I was like, wow, that looks like fucking garbage. It doesn't even look like the graphics don't even look good. And I would think if you're having a disaster movie where your graphics aren't that great, maybe show some of the acting. But maybe this is better than the acting. Maybe the acting's even worse than the graphics. And so that was some sort of, I don't know. I think, now, in general, films, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure you will, anyone at home, it's my understanding that films like this come out during the summer, typically, right? Action movies come out in the summer, typically. When an action movie of this size is coming out in October, in the end of October, which means it's going to be fighting against horror movies, I'm not really sure this is going to do. Doesn't seem like they have faith in it, I guess I would say.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And understandably. I mean, just watching the trailer alone, I'm like, why? Why?
But, yeah.
Okay.
No, I think you're right, because I just looked up the movie that I immediately thought of when I first saw this was Day After Tomorrow, which came out in May. And then, of course, San Andreas, because that's like the last big disaster movie that I can think of, which also came out in May. So I think you're right. The release date for this movie is a little wonky.
Yeah, it's not. It's like a film that looks like this, like, usually is a summer movie. And yeah, the fact that we're seeing it come out at the end of the year shows maybe not as much good faith. Carly, you are in so much darkness right now.
I know. It got so dark all of a sudden, but I refuse to turn on the light because then it's just going to get hot because I can't have my air conditioner on.
So for you listeners at home, Carly records at her home in LA, and I record at my home in San Diego, and we Skype, and we see each other on Skype.
I am in complete darkness.
Carly is in complete, like, I can see her teeth, the whites of her teeth. She is...
Are
you doing this because we're doing a Conjuring episode and you're like, you know, you're going to jump out and scare me while we're recording?
I was just trying to avoid turning on the light. And now my corgi's in the other room playing with her squeaky toy. All the things are happening right now.
Well, I can't hear the squeaky toy, so I think that's probably fine. But maybe turn on a light so I can see your beautiful face.
But then it's going to get hot.
It's not going to get hot from one light bulb. It's already a million degrees.
Ugh.
Just complete fucking darkness.
I'm trying to turn on the light without spilling my soda water. Oh, it doesn't even help.
Yeah, it helps a little bit.
Now I feel like it's even creepier.
Well, it's creepier, but at least I can see your face now. It's like a red light. Why do you have a red light in your room?
It's not.
You
doing it's not some, red. Like, it's my Winnie. Fancy... It's my Winnie the Pooh lamp.
Mm-hmm. Red light special at Carly's house.
Hey, hey.
Sing some.
No, I feel the heat already.
Oh my god! Just sit in the dark then. It's not even dark outside yet.
Open your blinds. I don't know why it got so dark all of a sudden.
Okay, let's move on because these poor people at home are tired of listening to this conversation.
All right. Woo! Here we go. Our first movie that we are going to be talking about today is The Conjuring from 2013, directed by James Wan, who everybody knows as the man behind the Saw movie films and also Insidious, and written by Chad Hayes and Carrie Hayes, the House of Wax remake writers.
Woo!
That's fun. The IMDb summary is paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren work to help a family terrorized by a dark presence in their farmhouse.
Ooh. So this movie is a sensational hit. This is like huge number horror movie. This is like bringing horror fans out of the woodwork. Super successful movie. How do you feel about The Conjuring from 2013, Carly?
This is actually a movie that I did not see in theaters. I ended up, like, renting it and just, like, watching it at my house. And I actually liked it. There's like things that I'm not crazy about by it, but I think it gives off a really creepy vibe. I think that James Wan did a good job of kind of drawing from like 1970s horror movies. I kind of wish that they stuck with the Warren Files as being the name of it, especially because of this huge universe that they've kind of developed based on all of the Warren cases. I feel like The Conjuring, while a cool name for a movie, like if they knew that they were going to keep making these movies, I feel like The Warren Files would have been a better encompassing name, I guess.
I can kind of agree with that. Although, how can you really expect this level of success with a horror franchise? And I mean,
I feel like they could have. I mean, because you have
slightly anticipated.
The recipe is there. I mean, the recipe is there. Like, obviously, James Wan knows what he's doing. They continue to this day to make Saw movies. For the life of me, I don't know why. But
he has so much money. He's got to be, like, the richest fucking dude right now.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he has a method. He follows this method, and he makes 8,000 movies. And especially with, like, they knew they were at least going to get 2 movies, probably 3 out of just this one situation. I mean, they planned it by setting up Annabelle. They planned it by leading off with Lorraine gets the call about the Amityville house. Mm-hmm. Like, they had plans, and you can tell watching the movie that they had plans. And so I think that that's kind of why I feel like I wish that the name was a little bit different. But I mean, that's really neither here nor there.
Or not that it really even matters. Although, like, it's so funny. Like, The Conjuring 2, like, they didn't even try. They didn't even, like, that's not even an attempt at, like, a sequel title. Like,
no.
Who gives a shit about the title? Everyone's gonna fucking see it. It doesn't fucking matter. Exactly. Like, all these titles are so boring. Like, it's, I don't know that it's much of a secret. They just
the
announced.
The Crooked Man. They Annabelle. Just Annabelle 2. It's like,
it's like the simplest fucking titles ever. Ever.
But then, I mean, you have Saw 2, Saw 3, yeah. Saw 4.
Insidious 1, Chapter 1, yeah. Chapter 2, Chapter 3, Chapter 4.
The originality.
Who gives a shit about the title? Is your movie fucking scary? That's what James Wan says.
Exactly.
So I just kind of want to run through some of my notes, because I wrote a lot of notes when I was watching this. I've seen this movie quite a few times. I own it. I do not think this is a perfect movie, but it's so much fun to watch.
Yeah.
And the scary scenes still fucking get me, like, every time. There's, like, a couple scenes where, like, I can't quite get a handle on when things happen. You know how, like, you watch a movie and you know when the jump scare is coming, and then it doesn't get you after you see it the second, third time? Yes. I know when the jump scare is coming, but the timing is, he's so fucking good at jump scare timing that even, like, seasoned pros like me who can fucking find a jump scare, like, easily. I always call it out because my husband's so jumpy. I'm like, a jump scare is going to come. Watch out. Jump scare is about to come. Jump scare in 5, 4, 3, 2, jump scare. So I'm really good at it. I can't fucking put my finger on James Wan jump scares. He gets me every time.
It's
so
totally true. Like, you'll be waiting and you're like, it's going to come now. It's going to come now. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, like, every fucking time. Every fucking time. In this movie specifically, the jump scare that gets me every single fucking time is when the daughter is on top of the armoire.
Yeah.
Every fucking time. That scared the shit out of me in the theater. I remember being like, ah! It's awesome. I love it. He's good. Like, the only one that can get me. So I, like, appreciate that about his films. Like, they're so cheesy, though. They're so... Both of these movies are so cheesy. Like, the dialogue, it just fucking kills me.
Yes.
But...
And but I feel like with both of these movies, I feel like we start strong and end weak. Like...
100%.
They don't end well. And they... I feel like the audience changes while you're watching it, too. Because in the beginning, it's, you know, kind of open and things are happening and you're not, like, giving away too much information. And then by the end, it's like, oh, I just thought about this. I have to go do this thing because this is what this means. And, like, they over, like, explain things. And
I think the foresight for a conclusion is not there in the beginning of the script. I can totally agree with that, where it's like, starting off strong, middle's pretty good, and the ending is just kind of like,
yes. Exactly. Where did this go wrong?
Like, especially in the second movie, and we'll get there.
Yeah.
This movie, I don't think... No, it is. The ending's pretty bad. We'll get there. Okay, so I'm just going to go through my notes. Jump in when you have notes, okay, Carly?
Got it.
Okay. My first note. Why do the nurses in Annabelle have so many red crayons?
Well,
as an adult woman, I maybe, and I'm emphasizing maybe, have one red crayon. They have like five red crayons in this apartment.
But maybe they don't. Maybe that's an Annabelle thing, because part of the thing with the original doll, no, like, I was reading about this. Part of the thing with the original doll, which is a Raggedy Ann doll, but they decided to make it this like creepy porcelain doll for the movie, right, was that she would write notes on parchment paper, even though there was no parchment paper. So
That's true.
Maybe they just, you know, it's just Annabelle's thing that she writes thing in red crayon. She just has them, okay?
She has magic, which can only create red crayons and parchment paper.
Exactly. That's her trick. That's her party trick. Don't judge.
Before we move any further, I will say that I have read The Demonologist, which is the book about Ed and Lorraine Warren and their escapades when they were ghost hunting and all this stuff. And it's been a while since I read it, so I don't remember all the details. But yeah, that is true. That is written in the book that parchment and red crayon would come out of nowhere, but it's just like five red crayons. She's just sitting in there.
Crayons.
How funny would it be if like you walk into a room and just like it's filled with fucking red crayons? It's like, oh, we're haunted, but we just keep getting red crayons.
I'd be like, I'm really confused about how to feel right now.
You just have to
because where set did these red crayons come from? But also, what is happening in my house?
First of all, I need to know about these red crayons.
Yeah. Did I have these? Did you bring these?
Is someone breaking into our house that also owns a red crayon store?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Why doesn't this family listen to their puppy? Why don't people in haunted houses ever listen to their puppies? The puppies are always trying to tell them.
It's very true.
That something is amiss. And this puppy dies very early in the movie.
I know, and I'm happy that you don't see anything. But apparently in the state of Rhode Island, they don't require that thing where home sellers need to like disclose documented histories of criminal activity in a house. So, let alone like paranormal or supernatural hauntings to like potential buyers. So like they had no idea of all the shit, and there's a lot of shit that went down in this house before they bought it.
A lot of it.
Devastating things.
Yeah. Like witches and ghosts and goblins and I don't know whatever else they want to shove in there. Why are there witches too? Why do we need that added level? Like, oh, she's a witch, and then she was possessed, and then it's just a lot.
Her name is very witchy.
Yeah.
So I feel like it just felt right.
It's just a lot. There's a leprechaun, and then there's a witch, and then there's a gremlin. Like, just keep fucking layering that shit, guys.
Just throw them all in there.
Yes. And then the vampire lived next door.
Yes.
Okay. Hide and clap is the creepiest game ever. Great choice. I've never seen this game played, but I want to play it in a dark, abandoned house just for fun.
Or like in a hotel, like in like the Shining Hotel or something.
Oh, that would be so cool.
To make a trip of it.
Hide and clap seems like a really fun game to play with a bunch of horror fans.
I would totally agree with you.
Yeah. Okay. If you're basement is boarded up. You find a basement in this new creepy house you bought. It's boarded the fuck up. How do you proceed with that, Carly?
I would knock that shit down. I'm curious.
You would explore.
Absolutely. 100%.
I mean,
especially
I would
especially if
too,
there was
but...
all that stuff down there. Are you kidding me?
Fuck, but you gotta think, why would anyone board up a basement? And the only answers I can come up with are horrible things. Are legit horrible things.
Yeah. But I mean, that's your house. You're not going to, like, not explore it.
I might not explore it. I'm just saying.
I would explore it, guys.
I might hire someone to explore it for me and then board it the back fuck up. Because I don't know that I need that much extra storage space. I can deal.
I feel like that's the point when I would say, hey, who used to live here before me?
Yeah. Hey, what's the deal? Okay. Okay, what else do I have?
What else you got?
Oh, tugging on feet while you're sleeping.
Terrifying.
That scene. Okay, so that scene when she's getting her feet tugged on and then she's like, oh, someone's in the corner and her sister's awake. And she's like, it's right behind you. And you don't see anything. One of the most terrifying scenes of the movie.
And 100%.
Elegantly crafted by James Wan. I 100% love this scene. I think it's great. It's
all
so
of the scenes between effective. The sisters are pretty great.
Because you're just fucking staring, like, looking for something. Like, is something there?
Is something going to jump out at me? Nope. Yeah.
No, it's worse.
You're not going to see it.
It's worse. It's worse than something jumping out at you. It's so good. Brilliant scene. Love that scene. There are a couple times in both of these films when very loud things are happening, but no one wakes up. And I have a hard time with that. I wrestle with that issue. Often in both of these movies. Like the scene where the mom is up and she hears like clapping and she thinks that the kids are clapping. And all of the picture frames on the wall on the staircase down come crashing down. It's the fucking loudest thing ever. How is not everyone in that house awake?
The ghosts.
Shit drives me nuts. So the ghosts muffled their ears so they couldn't hear it.
Duh.
Crazy. Crazy town to me. I don't like that. I don't like it when there's loud crashes and no one gets up. I would 100% be running all over the place. The armoire scene gets to me every time. 100%.
Yeah.
I don't... Like, how do you feel about this music box? Because James Wan likes to make things look extra creepy. Like, the Annabelle doll is supposed to be a Raggedy Ann doll, but he makes it a creepy porcelain doll that has dark circle under its eyes for some reason.
That, like, nobody would ever want. I would never want that doll.
No one would ever want that doll. No one would ever want this music box. It's terrifying. And not to jump ahead, but no one wants the Crooked Man thing either. Fuck that thing.
So, I understand, like, the Crooked Man thing. I get that. I'd spin it.
I just don't know why things have to look so creepy. I think I might think they're creepier if they looked more authentic.
Well, I don't know. Some stuff from, like, the 70s and 60s just look creepy as fuck.
True. And the tin toys, they're tin toys from back then, are fucking scary as shit. But that looks like, I don't know, maybe it's real. But to me, when I watch it, I'm like, that doesn't seem accurate. But maybe it is. Yeah. I don't know. I watch a lot of Antiques Roadshow. You'd think I would recognize.
Oh, there's that thing.
Toys. Yeah, exactly. I saw that on Antiques Roadshow. there is a really cool, and I don't, when they're setting up the cameras and the Warrens are there and they're getting ready to, like, find proof of stuff, they're setting up all these cameras and bells and stuff. There's a montage music in the background that is fantastic. It's like, I don't know what it is, but it's kind of like got like a creepy, groovy sound to it, like very 70s. But then there's also like a lot of like background clapping,
yeah, totally.
Which makes me think of like the hide and clap game. So I just thought that was a really cool. I just noticed that. I thought it was really cool.
I really like that that idea that they have of setting up all the cameras and stuff. And I feel like it's really effective in this movie, especially like they don't need to show everything. Like, especially like when she's walking up the stairs and they're like, she's not alone. Like, she's not triggering that. You're like, what's happening?
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool scene. And then this is kind of where I feel like the movie starts to fall off.
I agree.
So we have, I think the mom being possessed seems a little too out of nowhere for me.
Especially to the level that she's possessed.
Yeah, it was very, it was like all of a sudden, it wasn't gradual at all, which is like contrary to like basically anything anyone ever had learned about exorcism ever in their lives. And it's like the sheet. Like, that sheet scene is really cool. Do not get me wrong. I love the sheet scene where the sheet flies off. It falls on a entity that is not human, taking a human form, and then goes to the window, and then you see something in the window. Very, very well crafted. But beyond that, when she becomes possessed, it's like snap your fingers and she's possessed. And it just doesn't feel right. It feels like a last minute choice. Everything else has so much thought behind it that this just doesn't fit for me.
Exactly. It feels super rushed. And that's the same problem that I have with the second one too. Like the ends, they feel like, oh, we've done all this, you know, we've done all this like backstory and we've got this really good story going. Oh shit, we're an hour and a half into the movie. We need to wrap this up.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, and then not to nitpick, but like the cobwebs in this house look like dollar store cobwebs I got at Halloween. They look nothing like cobwebs. They look like the stuffing in the inside of a shitty pillow. Like that's what these cobwebs look like. And it's distracting to say the least. Okay. What else do I got? Yeah. And then there's like birds. All that bird stuff I could have done completely without any of the bird stuff.
Yeah.
A little excessive and looked really fake to me.
I agree. I could have done with, in both of these movies, like I understand that I guess it's like a plot point to some degree, but I could do without the like the Warrens at home situation and like,
yeah,
I don't need that. I don't care.
I'm not sure why their daughter has to be so involved in the story.
Me either.
Seems like an added plot point we don't really need.
Yeah.
Actually, in both of the movies.
Yes.
But, you know, whatever. The exorcism thing just really didn't work for me. And there's a part where the demon telepathically shoots a gun. Like, that's just ridiculous.
Get that out of here.
That's a fucking ridiculous scene. Really? The demon in the mom is somehow telepathically shooting a shotgun and aiming it at someone. No, I don't know. No, it's cheese now. It's super cheese. It takes all this scary stuff and kind of throws it out the window. It's like the shitstorm that people feel like has to happen at the end of the movie or else people think the ending's boring. They just put too much in the bucket. Way too much for me. And then it's too happy of an ending. So it's like, it's too much of a contrast at the end to feel real. Because the whole beginning of the movie feels real. And you're almost like, oh, this is based on a true story. I could see some of this stuff happening. And then it's like this exorcism and then the shotgun. And then she vomits up the demon and everything's fine. And the Warrens are so happy. And it's a lovely sunny day. You know, it's too much. Too much for me. But that's not to say that I don't really enjoy this movie. I own it. I really like it. But it's not without its faults. And definitely room for improvement. So we have a third movie that has been announced as of today, I believe. So it's happening. So currently, three Conjuring Universe movies coming out. We got The Nun, as you said. Mm-hmm. We have The Crooked Man that was announced recently. And now we have The Conjuring 3 that's coming out. So
all over the place.
Wow. He's a fucking genius, man. Who cares about the ending? This guy's making fucking bank.
Yeah, he does things. And he's working on the new Aquaman.
Yeah, there's some money in those jeans.
Oh, man. I had no idea that the, how do you say their last name? Perrin, okay, that they lived there for 10 years.
Oh, really? Afterwards?
They just, like, because Lorraine... Oh,
this is what happened over the span of 10 years?
Yeah, because Lorraine Warren and Andrea Perrin were consultants to James Wan, and they claim that the movie is, like, super accurate to the real story of what happened to the Perrins during the 10 years that they lived in the farmhouse.
Interesting. And Yeah. There's one thing that's pretty obvious in these films is that they're really trying to stay true to a lot of it. And I'll talk about this more during this when we talk about the second film. But, like, down to the fucking costumes. Like, it's...
The second film is on freaking point with the costumes.
Really, it's really on fucking point with the costumes.
The little girl looks exactly like the little girl. We'll get there. Yeah. But, like, it's insane.
It's really crazy. It's really, like, someone spent a lot of fucking time and energy to make it look as authentic as possible.
That's why they didn't have time to think of a clever name.
In fact, that might be true. Okay, are we ready to wrap up talking about The Conjuring?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's move on to The Conjuring 2 then. Also directed by James Wan, written by Chad and Carrie Hayes again. But it's also written by James Wan and David Leslie Johnson. And David Leslie Johnson might be known for his writing for The Orphan, which some people know about and no one likes. And also, there's a new Nightmare on Elm Street movie coming out.
Why?
According to IMDb. And Great. He's writing it. So something to look forward to there or not. The IMDb summary is Lorraine and Ed Warren travel to North London to help a single mother raising four children alone in a house plagued by a malicious spirit. So when I saw this in the theaters, I think I liked it less than when I watched it this time. I'm going to be honest. I enjoyed it way more this time. And I think I might even like The Conjuring 2 more than I like The Conjuring.
Really?
Yeah. Now, that's not to say that it does not have its faults, because it certainly fucking does. And there are things that I absolutely hate about this movie. But I think in terms of scares, this one has me. This one scares me more.
I think the first one scares me more. I really like a lot of things about this movie. I really like the accuracy of it. I mean, like, the side-by-sides of, like, the pictures are, like, freaking on point.
It's insane. Yeah. It's insane how much, like, it's precise.
Yeah. I really like the portrayal of the Amityville horror situation in this.
One of my favorite portrayals. It is my favorite portrayal of Amityville I've ever seen.
I really like that.
Not even one of them. It is by far the best portrayal of. And how many? We already did an Amityville episode. We count. We read off how many Amityville movies and TV shows there were. There's a lot of them. This is the fucking best, I think, and the most accurate to what I've read and seen.
It's so great. Like, I love really the like dynamic of Vera Farmiga and Ronnie DeFeo. Like, that mirror image happening, and like, she's miming while he's doing, and everything's very on point. And it's like
really good. I just got chills thinking about how good it is.
Me too, actually, when I was saying it. And it's like, it's really beautiful, but then you also have that like famous picture that everybody knows, like, if you're into, you know, if you're a weirdo like we are and look at, you know, weird pictures. The little boy. When I saw this in theaters, that got me excited. I was like, yes, finally. This amazing good imagery that we have, and someone finally fucking put it in a movie. It only took us till 2016. When did this movie come out? Yeah. Like, it blew my mind that it took that long. But then it kind of lost me with The Nun. I'm not really into The Nun. I'm not interested in the character. I really don't give a shit about The Nun.
So The Nun is an interesting part of this film because it was added at the last minute.
Okay, well, big surprise.
they basically, James Wan had an idea for this nun and thought this would be a great addition, and like went back and filmed scenes to include the nun in it. I know for a fact I am not alone in thinking that this nun is the fucking scariest shit that I've seen in a movie in a long time.
It didn't get me.
Well, you're not Catholic.
That's very true.
I'm fucking scared of nuns in general.
That's very true.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that that has anything to do with it, but... no, I think that the nun is really fucking terrifying. Do I think, like, the story behind the nun isn't that great? No. But I think, like, the actual imagery of it, that painting is fucking horrifying.
The painting's great.
That scene... The scene with her in the room with that painting and it's behind her. Oh my God. There's nothing even really happening, and I'm fucking terrified. It doesn't. I don't even care when the nun appears and is standing there. That scene with the painting right behind her, for some reason, fucking gets me every time. Scares the shit out of me. Perfect.
The scene is great.
Great. Yeah.
Totally don't want to detract anything. Like, I love that scene as well. But like, then when they're back in the basement and she like roars for some reason, I'm gone. I'm lost again. Like, that doesn't. Yeah. There's good elements, but the nun as a character, I just.
I mean, I'm taking this movie with a grain of salt in that I don't really like the dialogue, and I think some of the stuff is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But the scares are so effective that I can kind of look past it and just kind of enjoy the movie for being a scary movie, which how often do I get to do that anymore with horror movies? Like,
no, I enjoy. I honestly like this movie as well.
Yeah.
It felt like it was added last minute, and so it makes sense that you tell me that it was.
It does feel a little disconnected. Yeah, I agree. But way more frightening than the Crooked Man, which I think is like ridiculously silly.
I didn't think the Crooked Man, and to warrant his own movie, it's weird.
I feel like it's like, okay, it's a spinoff for children. I don't. You know, it's funny, Tony never saw this movie, and I had it on, and he was kind of half-watching it. And when the Crooked Man shows up, he's like, oh, he's kind of like the guy from Fat Albert, because his hat goes over his eyes.
That's great.
I thought that was funny. Okay, one of the other things I have a fucking issue with is using this London Calling song when you're going to England in a movie is a fucking no-no. Always don't do it.
I agree.
Unless you're making a movie about the Clash, keep that fucking song out of your movie. There's an Amanda Bynes movie from early 2000 called London Calling when they do almost the exact same scene that we got in this movie. Why do we have a montage with London Calling when we go to London? Why is that fucking necessary? Get the fuck out of here. I hate this so much. I was in the theater by myself, cracking up and cursing because I was so upset about it. Rant over.
Yeah, that's when you're kind of like, oh, this is a mainstream movie.
it's so unnecessary and completely takes you out of everything happening.
Because
why is that needed?
It's not.
What is that giving us? You know what would have been way better and set the mood a little bit more is having a black screen with the thing Enfield, London, blah, 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 year. Perfect. Now I know where I am. Let's move forward with our lives. I don't need a fucking montage with London Calling in the background. This isn't a teeny bopper movie from 2004. Please. Okay. Rant over.
Preach.
I'm done. I got it out of my system. I hate that part. And I think the first time I watched this, that bothered me so much that it didn't allow me to like enjoy the rest of the movie. Because I legit was upset about it.
Like I said, I don't blame you.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of that. Okay. Moving on. I like how we have a little bit more character development in this movie. I really get a sense for who these kids are and their relationships to each other. I don't really know why we need so many children. There's a couple children we probably could have gotten rid of.
There are definitely some that just get lost and that you don't really pay attention to anymore.
Mm-hmm. But the kids we do get, we get a little background on them. We know a little bit about them. They're not completely one-dimensional, which is kind of nice. So I did appreciate that because I feel like that's what kind of was lacking in the first movie. We didn't get a lot of that. I like how we have Ed and Lorraine on TV now. They've made a name for themselves, and they're battling with people believing them and so on and so forth. That's cool.
The Warren Files, man.
I'm also a big fan of the room, which is very accurate to the pictures I've seen of the Enfield house.
Oh, down to the posters. They, like, did their research on this movie.
And the posters on the wall do something so special in this movie in that it makes your eyes play tricks on you in a very cool way. Because there's a couple scenes when I'm like, oh, something's behind her. Oh, no, it's a fucking poster. Fucking
movie. Yeah. Oh, it's just David Cassidy.
Yeah. Yeah, David Cassidy looks really scary when it's dark in the room. So that was really cool. And not only did they like draw a parallel and that's how the room actually looked, but it really did like fuck with your eyes and make you see things. Really love it when that happens in movies. This house is fucking disgusting. It's the most disgusting movie house I think I've ever seen. There's like, the walls are falling apart, all the furniture's falling apart, the fireplace is filthy.
They have like, no money.
I know. And that's great, because I'm sure it's very accurate to how the house looked, but it's fucking distracting as shit. I keep like, can you just throw some fucking paint on the wall? It's disgusting.
They can't afford it.
I know, but I'm just saying, I couldn't stop looking at it. I'm like, that's so gross. Paint your wall, dude. Looks so much better. A little spruce up. Because she's a single mom. She has so much time to spruce them up.
Exactly.
She could put a paintbrush on her kids' hands. What else are they fucking doing? That one chick sitting at home watching TV, she could fucking paint a wall while she's doing that. The scene that gets me in this movie every fucking time, when she's sitting at home watching TV during the day.
Yes.
And the remote thing keeps happening.
Yes.
And that guy pops up right behind her. Fucking gets me every time. It got me so good in the theater that I giggled for like a minute straight afterwards. Because that's what I do when I get scared. I just giggle.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. what else do we got here? We have a lot of good things. Now, one of the most interesting things about this movie, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Carly, but the Crooked Man in this film, not CGI, no computer graphics.
I actually knew that because there was like a lot of stuff where they were like, oh, this bat's like too much CGI. And they're like, we didn't use CGI.
Yeah, they didn't. It's really impressive. That actor, dude, he was also in Mama. If you ever saw Mama.
Yeah, he's going to be in It as well.
Perfect. Because he does it so well. Although, yeah. I think maybe because the colors are so vibrant of his costume mm-hmm. that it looks cartoony. And that's why people keep thinking it looks like CGI. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's not scary to me. I'm not interested in seeing the Crooked Man movie. I am interested in seeing the Nun movie, 100%, because that bitch scares the shit out of me.
Well, $6 Wednesday, both of them probably.
Yeah, I hear you. You know what I find interesting in this movie is like all the houses are really reminiscent of a lot of ghost story movies that you see.
Yeah.
The stairs leads to a clock, leads to a door. It's similar in Insidious. It's similar in all of the Amityville movies. Mm-hmm. It looks really familiar to me. It's also similar in movies like Black Christmas. Like, there's always that staircase that leads to the door and there's a clock there.
They're probably all filmed in the same exact place.
Maybe. But even The Changeling, that movie has a very similar thing, too. And it's very, I don't know why, but it's very specific to ghost movies that they have this stairway, clock, door all the time. Pay attention to it if you haven't yet. Think of like your top five ghost movies and chances are at least three of them have this.
Have this layout.
Yeah. Crazy.
And they all have that landing that like leads off to all the doors, like all the bedroom doors.
Yep.
Usually a circular situation up there mm-hmm. where you can like go back to the kitchen and then go back to the front.
Yeah.
Really interesting
how these layouts are so similar.
Yeah.
How often do I really see a house like that? Maybe like granted it's kind of a normal old school house thing.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna tell you, I've been in a lot of houses. I'm a 33-year-old woman. I've seen a lot of houses in my day. Not that many of them are like this.
I actually grew up in a house that had that kind of layout.
Oh really?
Yeah. And when I lived in New York, actually, it was like the front door led to there wasn't like a clock up above, but like there was definitely like staircase down to like the front area, but then also a staircase that would go back down to like the kitchen and the garage area.
Yeah. But then the basement right beneath those stairs And that it's just, it's very familiar feeling.
Yeah.
And maybe it's, and it's, I don't know. It's really cool. I notice it all the time and I'm always like, that's really cool. But because I think even if it's not the same whatever that they're using, like it makes you feel like you've been to this house before, right? Because it's very familiar feeling.
Absolutely.
So make it just adds to the creepy, the creepy factor. Okay. What else do we got? Oh, if you paint the creepiest painting in the world.
The nun? Is that what we're talking about?
Yes. So let's say your boyfriend, Carly, is a famous painter or not. He just likes to paint. And he paints the creepiest picture in the whole world that you've ever seen. Do you hang that up in your den? What do you do with that picture?
Maybe like in a really well lit area.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because I kind of like creepy paintings.
I like creepy paintings too.
I wouldn't
to an extent.
Hang that thing in my bedroom.
This
but like
picture
in my
has
office,
eyes that
maybe.
Follow you.
In my office, I might until it scares me enough.
Fuck.
Like until I turn around and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Enough times that I'm like, this has got to go.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I could hang that specific painting anywhere. Woo. It's not good. Okay. And then again, we have the ending here where we have it just kind of falls off and it gets really cheesy. Like
it's too much.
Like the Ed and Lorraine dialogue at the end of this movie makes me want to kill myself because I'm like, this is like a family melodrama from the early 90s, but also terrifying. Like, that's
just
the
like,
cheesy.
From the like, second like, they leave the house, I'm out.
I'm so out when they leave the house. When they get on the train and the sound thing falls and suddenly he's like, oh, I know. Let's play these together.
Ugh.
How did you fucking
Fuck
figure
off.
That out all of a sudden?
You
no.
didn't.
No. No, you did not do that.
And then, like, when he's, like, leaving her, and then she's like, oh, but
no!
I just need to tell you your name. But you told me your name. I need it. Where's my broken Bible?
When Ed is in the basement and she's on the other side of the door, Ed, no! No, Ed! No!
It's too much.
And he's like, I'm sorry, Lorraine, but I have to do this. And she's like, no! It's like the worst soap opera
yeah.
you've ever fucking seen.
Yes.
And I don't mean this as a slight to the actors, because they're great. I like them a lot.
I do
general.
Too.
This is just some fucking cheesy ass writing, and they're probably being directed to be insane.
Yeah.
Because it's way too over the top. It's so cheesy. It's so out of nowhere. It's so weird. And they're like forcing this love story upon us that I don't really know that we need.
We don't need it because we get it.
Yeah.
Already.
Yeah. I thought that what was really cute was like talking to the little girl and being like, you know what I did when I met someone who finally believed me?
Yeah.
I married them. Like, that's cute. And we get a sense for their love just through little things like that. Or when they're both in separate beds and they're like, talking to each other like, oh, I don't know that I can sleep this far away from you. I mean, that's cute. We get the emotion from that alone. We don't need this over-the-top melodrama bullshit. Like, it's too much.
Totally.
Way too much. Way too over-the-top. Kind of insane. And why does the crooked man have a reptile face at the end of this movie? I do not understand that.
Please, this movie jumped off the deep end. Like,
yeah, it really did.
It's like, okay, I'm done.
It jumped the shark is what it did.
Yeah.
It jumped the shark in its own movie.
Oh, my God. Shut it down. They were like,
but
we're just going to shut it down.
But the scares are so good. And I really love the jump rope tied around her arm. And like, just like little things like that were really creepy. I thought like a lot of the scary stuff was really good. But then there's just this like cheese element that's like overpowering and insanely ridiculous that I just cannot get behind. But I mean, it's still good. It's weird. It's so rare that I feel like, you know, this can outweigh this other thing. And usually I'm such a stickler for dialogue and characters and all this stuff, and I can kind of just throw it out the window with these movies because they get me. They scare me. And how often can I fucking say that?
Yeah. I get it. I getcha.
Not all the scares work, but the ones that do really fucking work. And I enjoy both of them immensely. But I also laugh at some parts also because I think they're insanely ridiculous. Okay, anything else to add before we move on?
I'm good.
Okay, well then let's
set all the things.
Okay, well then let's get started with our newest segment that we like to call
Social Media Question of the Week.
This week's question was, which Conjuring Universe home would you spend the night in alone? Amityville, Perrin House, Enfield House, or the Warrens? And why?
From Twitter, we have Elizabeth saying, Amityville. If I'm going to be bored in a big house all by myself, it may as well be a pretty house. Plus, I'll bring some books to read.
I can kind of get behind Elizabeth.
I would live in that house. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't want to give my answer soon, but I'm going to give it now because I 100% agree with Elizabeth. That Amityville house is amazing.
It is. It's gorgeous.
It's amazing. I would 100% live there. If you want to hear us talk more about the Amityville house, you can listen to our Amityville episode where we gush over how amazing this house is.
We do, and talk about how we want to go pretend that we're interested in buying it because it was like on sale at the time. I don't know if it still is, but hey.
Fucking awesome.
Give me the walk around.
I'll do it.
I want to check this place out.
Exactly.
All right. Tommy B says the Warrens because it's fake as shit, so I'd have the best chance to survive. I get it. That's fine. Yeah. All you have to do is really stay away from their Room of Mysteries, right?
Yeah, I like how their Room of Mysteries has like Halloween decorations in it.
Hey, gotta play the part.
Yeah, it's true.
Last Cthulhu says, the agony of choice, I'd take Enfield. I had a blast trolling these puny humans back then, exclamation point. Jacob and Tab from Test Pattern Show, or at Test Pattern Show, says the Perrin House. It's the most classic haunted house of the choices, and that seems like it would be super scary and fun for any monster kids.
All right. The Horror Junkies FL, a part of our Phantom Podcast Network family, says the Enfield House, and hopefully Valak will come pay us a visit. Scary, they want to see lady. Valak, apparently. So that's interesting. At Kung Fu Dracula says, Amityville, even if there aren't demons, with that many murders, it's surely haunted. So apparently Kung Fu Dracula is like down for some ghosts.
Yes.
All right. I appreciate that badassery, Kung Fu Dracula, and also that name. I just love it.
It is stellar.
Yeah. At Cake of Doom says, Enfield was a lie, so as long as it's got TV and the interwebs, I'm in.
I mean, it has TV, but I don't know if it's got internet.
Yeah, it might not have internet. That house is a piece of shit. I don't want to. I don't care if I get a free trip to London. I don't need to be in that house.
At Boss Captain Ross says, the Warren's house. Assuming it's not all bullshit, I imagine they have some kind of precautions to stop bad things happening. That's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Safe.
Totally.
Black Cat says the Warrens, because holy water flows out of their taps and there's communion wafers in a cookie jar. So that should come in handy. Devil emoji. Again, with the smart choices here.
Yeah.
The Giant Be With You says Warren House because it's not haunted, just a bunch of BS knickknacks in a museum, quote unquote. I couldn't handle all the jump scares in the other houses.
There was quite a good retort after that. It seems like at the Giant Be With You was battling some things. I encourage you all to go on Twitter and find that conversation because it kind of goes on for a long time. I didn't want to include it on here because, you know, time and, you know, you might not care. But it was still funny. He's battling with some things there. On Instagram, we have Villainous Kind says, the Warrens. It's like being the guard on post at a nuke silo. Super exciting boredom. I also feel like they'd let you bring your dog on shift. All right.
I think they would, too.
They probably would. Justin from the Horror Business Podcast says, I mean, even though they're all way not haunted, I'm going to say Amityville because it's the house both Patrick Wilson and James Brolin were in, and I feel some of their masculinity might linger there, so perhaps I could gain some of their raw machismo by going there.
I like
it. Is Patrick Wilson, like, especially masculine and I'm not aware of it?
I mean, he's got to be. They keep casting him in all these horror movies.
Why would he need to be masculine to be casted in the horror movies? I don't think that Ed Warren is exceedingly masculine.
Yeah.
I love Patrick Wilson. Do not get me wrong. I don't know why masculinity has anything to do with it, but I really don't. I don't get that from him. Anyway, I appreciate your thought, Justin. So anything else you want to add, Carly? I think we both agree Amityville's the winner for us.
Yes, most definitely.
Yeah. I mean, even though there were some horrific murders there, like, God, just for the history alone. The
Parent House is way more horrific. That place is like 8 generations of murder and suicide. No.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like anything really that bad happened in Enfield. No.
I mean,
and the Warrens, just like, I don't care if that museum's real or not. I don't want to fucking stay there. That shit's fucking creepy as shit. Amityville, at least I got, like, at least I feel like I recognize the area. I know what area it's in.
And as long as I stay out of the fly room, I'm happy.
Yeah. I mean, just sleep downstairs.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful view of the water. Like, you're fine. You're good. It's a gorgeous house.
It is all beautiful. Right.
Moving on. So let's talk about what's going on with us a little bit. You have anything to report there for us, Carly?
I have zero things to report. I was going to go see The Beguiled this weekend, but I didn't. And
it's not even playing in San Diego. I was so upset.
I was upset too because I was like, yeah, this is going to be great. And then I was like, oh, well, if we're not going to talk about it, I'm going to want to talk about it. So I'm just going to wait to see it till next weekend.
Yeah. I'll see it when I can. I want to see it. It's just not fucking playing. Fine. I really want to go see The Bad Batch. And it's playing at a theater here, but it's kind of far, and I didn't have the energy to drive.
It's probably playing here. I actually really want to see that, too.
I really do want to see that one. But no, I haven't been watching much. I finished Orange is the New Black, which was really great. I really enjoyed this season a lot. What else? Have I watched anything else? I did. I watched Excision. I might be saying that totally wrong. Please forgive me. It's fucking weird as shit. Carly, you have to watch that movie. It's on Shudder. If anyone's a fan of Todd Solondz, I have a very strong Todd Solondz vibe from this movie. Todd Solondz did really fucked up movies like Welcome to the Dollhouse. He did Storytelling. He did, what's that other movie? The one about the child molester. Anyway, he's a fucked up director, but he does dark humor like better than anybody, and the darkest humor that you could think of. And this movie is very dark and very fun and very weird. And I really like, I don't know. It's worth talking about. I'd love to do an episode on it. So I saw that because I'm trying to at least watch one new horror movie a week, at least one. And since neither of these were new. Yeah, so at least because neither of these were new, I watched that one, which was, I thought, a good choice. But that's about it. I haven't been watching too much TV, honestly, except for Buffy while I fall asleep. I got up to Hush again in Buffy, and I'm so excited to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
It's so good. It's so good. You want to stay awake for that one.
Yeah, like I turned it on, and then I fell asleep, and then when I woke up, Hush was on. I'm like, no, I can't watch it yet.
Turn it off, quick.
I need to wait till I'm, you know, awake enough to watch it.
That's how I am when I come across my favorite Twilight Zone episodes, when I'm like watching them.
So I think what a good idea is we're getting we made the announcement that July is our Blood in the Water series. So we will be doing the whole month will be devoted to films that take place in the water, mostly shark movies, but not exclusively sharks. And because Carly is such a shark enthusiast, she is our resident curator for this month coming up. So I'm going to let her announce the entire series. I'm going to make something to post that will show all the movies, because I have people asking, Carly. People are excited to know what movies we're doing. So why don't you go ahead and announce all of the movies for the entire month, And that way people know what to expect from us coming up.
Amazing. Okay.
I also wrote on there where they're streaming. Some of them are not streaming people, so just a heads up on that.
It's fine. They're all super fun.
It's we every once in a while we do special months where not everything is streaming, but it's worth it. So
it is. It's my birthday month, so we're doing what I want.
Atta girl. Wait, why didn't we do what I wanted for my birthday month? Oh wait, we always do what I want.
We probably did.
We might have.
All right. So our next episode, sorry, I don't know if you heard that firework that just happened. Someone's really excited about this in the neighborhood, which will be coming on July 6th, is Jaws, which is that not on Netflix anymore?
I don't believe it's currently on Netflix, although this was just something I found online, so I didn't double check. But
perfect. Maybe it's on Netflix. Only. Maybe it's not. But it is on Stars. So you can watch it on that. And then one of my personal favorites, because it's so great, is Shark Night 3D. And that one is not streaming. If you haven't seen it and you don't really need to like want to see it, it's not a big deal. You can listen to us have a blast talk about it anyway. The week after July 13th, we are going to be talking about Zombievers, which is streaming on Netflix, and Lake Placid, which is streaming on Crackle. The week after that, July 20th, we have The Shallows on Stars and The Reef on Shudder. And then our closing out on July 27th with Piranha 3D, which is not streaming, but see it because it's ridiculous. And Deep Blue Sea, which is also not streaming, but it's amazing.
And we have the guys from the horror business joining us on that final episode with Piranha 3D and Deep Blue Sea. So that'll be fun too.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun month.
It's going to be a really fun month. We're very excited about it. I can't wait.
Me too. And I've actually seen most, but I haven't seen all of these movies. I haven't seen The Reef. It was just on a lot of top 10 ocean movies that I kept coming across. So figure why not. And then Zombievers, which Amy's super excited about talking about. So
I just really wanted to do Zombievers.
I'm excited about it.
I don't know why. It's so stupid. It's not even a good movie, but I really want to do it for some reason.
It's going to be
watch me do it, and I'm like, why are we doing this movie?
Because this month is about fun and that's water.
That's true. That's true. And blood in the water.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's it for today. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorCast.com for more information on them and to listen to any and all of our episodes. Also, we have stickers. You want some free stickers? Just let us know and we'll send you some stickers. That was my rap.
I loved it.
Thank you.
Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TunedIn, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
All right, guys. So we'll see you next week when we discuss Jaws, which is now streaming on Stars, and Shark Night 3D, which is not currently streaming. And we are so excited about it. So we'll see you next week.